Welcome to Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio. Sports fans, golf fans, azalea fans, pimento cheese fans, yes sir fans, Amen Corner fans, patron fans, Crystal Goblet fans, Rays Creek fans, Dave Loggins fans, Second Cut fans, Par 3 tournament fans, Green Jacket fans, Running Isn't Allowed fans, It Doesn't Start Until the Back Nine on Sunday fans, or just fans, welcome to Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon. Max, that took all I got right there. I don't think I have much left.
Can I add one? Second Nine fans? Isn't that what they call the back nine?
Yeah, it doesn't start. But I feel like everybody always says it doesn't start until the back nine on Sunday.
Yeah, but I think they say the second
nine. You call it second nine. That's you know what? One day into Augusta National, and this guy's already an expert. Max, you played Augusta National today for the first time. You're in your first Masters. Can you just run us through your day and how you're feeling?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I had a lot of focus on Houston last week. As I mentioned on the podcast last week, I was doing my best not to look ahead, but I would be lying if I said Sunday in Houston I wasn't, you know, thinking about coming here. You know, we were flying out that night. I was playing with Graham McDowell, who I will say, I wanted to bring this up. I didn't know how to fit it into a segment. He is easily the coolest person in all of golf. Graham McDowell, I've decided, is the Matthew McConaughey of golf.
Okay.
Everything he does is cool. He is nice. He's talkative. He's suave. Even he kept my card. So at the end of the day, he like handed me back my scorecard. And even the way he wrote the numbers in was cool. Like even on the bogey, I was like, that's a cool five. Like that's sick.
Did he do the four like a goalpost open four, or did he do the like the triangle top four?
Open.
Okay.
But I that's it. The triangle's cooler looking. Triangle's cooler looking. It's just his fives had the perfect swoop. They all fit the score box like dead perfect. Mine, if you look at it, it looks like somebody decided to try both righty and lefty as they were writing.
The Tron Carter way to write.
It was poor. Yeah. The Tron Carter, the amphibious way. But yeah, so we were talking about it. You know, you could tell we were both pretty excited. And yeah, so like once we got on the plane, got down here, all of a sudden you start to get like a little bit more excited. This morning, you know, I was pretty amped to be out here. And but like nothing crazy, I guess. Well, I was happy. I was excited. I felt like I was in a good mood. But then we got like on to Washington Street or Washington Ave, where the golf course is, after we picked up our confirmation for the, you know, we have to get the credentials after we test negative. And all of a sudden I was like, holy cow. Like it wasn't like I got nervous, but like the butterflies hit. And all of a sudden I was like, we're doing it. Like this is happening. You make your right into the gates and that's Magnolia Lane. And Magnolia Lane to me, I know you've been, Shane, but it looked a lot smaller than I thought it would. But once you break through the trees to like the front that everyone's seeing with the picture, with the logo and then the clubhouse, that felt brighter and bigger. Like I hate to be like the cheesy guy, but that moment felt, not the moment, sorry, just the visual of it felt like more like, I don't even know how to, there was like more volume to it. It just like felt oddly satisfying to see. The buildings just seemed whiter. They pop more. It's all the corny stuff you hear all the time. I was trying not to be corny as I thought about all of it, but it's true. That's why, you know, the cliche is right about this place, all the cliches. It was wild. It was a million pinch me moments in a day. And at the same time, it also, I think without the patrons, it also just felt like a golf tournament, which was cool, I guess. But it definitely like bigger. It's odd. It's odd how I've tried to process it, because at times you're like wigging out. It was like walking in, I was wigging out, and then I got to the range and hit a few balls and I felt crazy comfortable.
Okay.
And I had to remind myself like, well, first off, like you're playing really well. You know, it's you're still just hitting golf balls. It's kind of how I've always thought about Sundays and tournaments I've been in contention. I'm more nervous going to the course, and the moment I put a club in my hand, you just, you know, you're like, I've done this 1 trillion times. I'm comfortable, you know, but then you'd have other moments where, you know, you'd walk to 12 across the bridge and then all of a sudden you're back to the pinch me moment. So it's very, very, very odd day. I don't know. It's a, you kind of go full circle in your emotions in the sense that, you know, for me, I was hoping I'd be here, you know, someone like a Justin Thomas as we turn pro at the same time, you know, your second year, first year out. And for me, it's taken so long. So I felt like it just felt like a little bit more of an appreciation for just being here, while also being insanely motivated to be here for every Masters forever. Because I want to play in front of fans. I want to play every April. I want to just be here all the time because it is for the Masters. It is a crazy cool week. I've never been here at another time. I imagine it's still cool. But for the Masters, this is nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, you said you don't want to be cheesy. You don't want to be corny. You're kind of speaking of this, you know, it's a huge moment. I mean, you'd had practice rounds planned at Augusta National early in the year. Of course, those got canceled and postponed because of COVID. The event gets postponed because of COVID. So you have this schedule of your year and things, you know, you're going to check off and these expectations you've had throughout your life as a golfer. I mean, did you have an introspective moment where you were on the range, you're on the golf course, you're hitting shots, you're looking around? Did you have that moment where it was, I know you have bigger goals in your life, but this is a golfer's goal, is to make the Masters and play in it. Did you have that moment where you're like, holy crap, I'm hitting the second shot on 13. Is this serious?
Yeah, you have like a lot of those. And then again, it's one of those odd, it's like an odd way to explain it, because you are in awe of it while you're also not. You know, like,
yeah.
You're in awe of where you are standing, and then you're over an 8-iron on 11. That's kind of where I had, I think, my biggest, to your question, that was the biggest moment for me as you know, as the question was asked, I guess, was I was standing over the shot. We had to wait a while for the green to clear. And the second shot on 11 is like, it's beautiful. 12's in the background. It's just a very cool spot to stand. And we're there for a while. We're talking about the shot. We're talking about how crazy the wind is because the flag is blowing dead left, but the wind's off the left. So it didn't make any sense. Xander's caddy is explaining to me certain things. We're talking about 12 coming up. Joe's explaining, like, you know, his like viewpoint on how the wind is going to, like, how you have to handle the wind and what you're seeing, but what you're feeling and all this stuff. And so I had that big, like, pinch me, you know, wow, like, you know, I'm here. Like, I'm at Augusta. I've been on the other side of the bushes, which is Augusta Country Club. I was there, you know, many years ago for Luke List's wedding, and we played golf the day before. And you're right there. Like, you're right next to Amen Corner. Right. You play over one of the creeks, you know, but it's a different golf course. It feels like a different world, honestly. And I had that moment where I'm like, dude, you're like, you're here. Like, you made it to something that is like a true check the box. This is a goal of every golfer who's ever touched a golf club, is not only just to play Augusta, but to play in the Masters. And I was like, man, I really am here. And then I stand over the 8-iron and it's work. So it just, that's where it feels small, but it's like the lead up feels big. I would say that most any golf tournament in the world, I think there would be a very easy way. You'd rather play a practice round, but you could get away with not playing a practice round if they didn't offer it, in the sense that nothing would feel too big. It would be harder to play the course if you don't know where you're going, but you could do it. I think this is a pretty necessary practice round for the emotional standpoint. Like, we were, and this is even with, you know, I play the front nine with Xander and Patrick Cantlay, and, you know, they've both been here 3 or 4 times, and they were making fun of me because I'm, you know, freaking out about geeking little things. I'm trying not to be like, yeah, the guy who's geeking out the entire day. But every time they gave me grief about it, I said, you guys can, you know, shove it because this is awesome. And they would laugh and say, yeah, it is awesome. But I could ask them little questions and they would know these answers. But at the same time, like, they're intrigued to inform me about things. You know, if I ask questions, they would tell me stuff. Xander showed me something on the 9th green. That's like, he's like, somebody showed me this. And it's just like the nuances of the golf course are so cool. The nuances of the place are so cool. It's just so everyone's always wanted to be here. So when you get here and you're playing, there is both the awe of it and then just the, hey, I'm here to work too. So you have to get past both things. And that's why I played 18 holes today. I just wanted to see all the golf holes. And it's a remarkable golf course on any day. But then I think the reminder is just like, you're also playing in the freaking Masters. So that's a weird one.
Yeah. It was something I was going to bring up is, again, I feel like today is so much louder than your plans earlier in the year in a good way. Yeah. I mean, you're there. I mean, now, mind you, no patrons if you were playing a practice round in February or March, but I'm assuming Masters week, you know, you look four fairways over and you see Tiger, you look three fairways over, you see Phil Mickelson, you know, now you start to see some of the legends roaming around come tomorrow. It just has to be today has to be a crazy day for you in terms of career days, because you played 18 holes at Augusta National on Masters Monday, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's so tight, dude. Like, you know, Tiger's on the range when I got to the range, and I'm talking to his buddy, who's the guy who's always with him. And he's a Dodger fan, and we're talking about the Dodgers as I'm standing behind Tiger Woods as he's chipping. And we're like, it's not just like I've been around Tiger before. I've like talked to Tiger. I've chipped with Tiger before, but like now I'm like at Augusta National during the Masters with Tiger, you know, and not really with him. I don't think he even noticed me, but I'm still there. And, but like, you know, on 18, as I was walking off, Rory was finishing 9, and I've been very fortunate because I really think he's an amazing dude. I've been fortunate to become like somewhat friendly with him. And he was like screwing around on 9 and put a ball like 10 feet past the hole. And then I watched it go in, and he kind of like looked around to see if anybody saw it. And I had my hands up, like, cause I watched the whole thing. I had my hands up, and he gave me a little hat tip. And then he walked over after and was like, is this your first time here? I said, yeah. And you know, he's asking me, he's like, how is it? Like, do you love it? And I said, dude, it's just like Disneyland. Like, this place is nuts. And he, you know, you could tell he's not just asking, like everybody that asks you, you know, how's your day? Like, it's a typical thing you say, you know, just to like have a conversation. This was more like, it was one of those, I remember my first time here.
Yeah.
It's very special. Are you feeling like how special this is? You know, and he was truly like genuinely asking, and there's a reason. It's not because, you know, not just because he's such a great dude. It's because this is a big deal, like in a weird way. And it's, you know, it's pretty difficult to compartmentalize how much fun you're having to also like preparing to win a tournament. That's why it was fun to play with Patrick and Xander, because you know, they've gone past the, this is my first time, holy shit moment. I had to get over that one. But it was also good to, you know, click into like, hey, like let's play golf mode too. So, you know, like Joe and I had a little game on the back nine to play the golf course, for like a score and whatever, but man, it's just, it's a very oddly unique feeling to
it's gotta be the only goal
that you already accomplished, but you just like, you know,
finally get
over
to be
a year later, you're like actually doing it. You know, it's very strange. It's like if you were pursuing like the hot girl in school and you asked her out and she was like, yes. And you were like, holy hell, like I'm going on the date with the hot chick. And then like a year later, you went on the date. You
She's know? Like, I'm free in 2021. It's and like a like, May
yeah,
weekend.
I'll be
you're
there.
Like, yeah, wait, it's fine. It sounds
I will
good.
Wait for you.
So, all right. So you played with Xander and Cantlay today.
And Lucas, I don't know how to pronounce the last name. He's an Australian guy who won the U.S. Mid-Am.
Okay. And then who else?
That was him. So it was us four. And then, okay. So it was us four. Them two left, Pat and Xander left over the front. I mean, Lucas played the back, which was fun too, because he had played here before. But this is obviously, I mean, you know, he stayed in the crow's nest last night.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's wigging out just like I am. So that was kind of fun to do the back nine with him, skip the ball in 16, you know, hit. We had
a
million tee shots off 13. I literally missed the water, but in the coolest way ever. I flew it last.
You whiffed on the skip? You first skip whiffed?
So I apparently when there's fans there, I think Charles Howell's caddy was with us, and he said like my shot I hit would have been, you know, well actually my ball, if it lands a foot shorter, it lands in the water. And if it lands a foot further, it lands on the green, but it landed dead into where the water meets the grass.
Yeah.
So he said, he's like, people have like snooped the ball into the crowd before. Cause it, you know, you're trying to like flight, but you need
and
to fly
it
somewhat
it, yep.
far. So, so that was funny, but yeah, then we also hit like a million drives on 13, just trying, you know, we were both just having like a blast, hitting like the skipping shot on 15. I don't know, like just, it was fun to also play with him cause we could both have the same type of experience or we're in the same headspace. And the back nine, I had so much fun on the front nine, and it was, some things felt bigger, some things felt smaller, but they were all just like unique. But then the back nine, I mean, like, think about like, this is like a amazing golf course, like from 1 to 18, there's sneaky holes. 1 is an amazing golf hole. 5 is one that, you know, you don't really like think of a lot, I guess. 7 is an amazing golf hole. 9 is an amazing golf hole, but then you get to the back and it just like, I don't really know how to explain. It's like there's two Victoria's Secret models, but one you're like, this one is better looking or something, or it's like literally comparing LeBron and Michael Jordan, and you're like, whichever one you decide you like more is like, or you think is better is. There's no real answer,
right?
For some reason, if whoever your viewpoint is, so if you think Michael Jordan's better, you're going to say like that's the back nine. Like they're both really, really good, but there's one that's like better.
Yeah,
you know?
Noticeably.
And that's
better.
How it felt. Like that's the back. I was just like, you know, like there's just no better nine holes to me. And a lot of it is probably the history, but my gosh, it was wild.
Yeah, Lucas Michelle, by the way, is that Michelle?
Michelle. Yeah, I didn't know if it was Michael or Michelle.
So,
sounds like
okay,
dodgeball.
So you, I know it does sound like that. So you, you played today, which is Monday. What's your schedule like? What's the plan like for the rest of your week before obviously Thursday?
I'm playing 9-9. So
do you know who you're playing with?
Back tomorrow. I think I'm playing with JC Poston tomorrow. We had planned it today and then he betrayed me and played with Jordan Spieth, which full disclosure, I would have done the exact same thing.
hey, real quick, can I ask a practice round question?
Yeah.
I get this sense. I've heard from every professional golfer that I know or that I'm, you know, pals with, they all have these stories and I feel like they happen more often than not. Are people just not loyal about the practice
no.
schedule if you get a better request?
Not at all. And again, okay. like I would do the exact same thing.
That's what I'm saying. If you're saying
loyalty.
You do it.
Yeah.
No
zero loyalty.
loyalty.
Yeah. It's every man for himself. When I saw him walking up, I was like, yeah, I mean, hell yeah, you left me and went with them. But I'll play with him tomorrow. I did text him today. I said, hey, if you'd like to play, I'm going to try to get this in early just in case Tiger like asks if you want to practice around. Like, I want to lock this thing in. So, you know, that's obviously like a classic, like first time at a big event thing where it's like, you're just playing with whoever the coolest person you can
get.
Yeah,
of course.
With is, I guess.
Of course. And somebody that has that much experience. So you play with JT tomorrow, and then what are you going to do Wednesday?
Wednesday, I'll play probably the front nine. We're kind of just beating the weather because the weather's not great this week. So tomorrow morning looks okay. I don't know who I'll play with Wednesday. I'll figure that out. I'd had something set up with Mike Weir, but I'm not sure if I'm going to do that just because now I'm going to play the back. Tomorrow we were planning on playing the back, but... we'll see. It's just kind of like flying by the seat of your pants. That's why I wanted to play 18 today, so I wasn't like locked in. But I don't want to. First off, this place is a really hard walk. I have an extremely like experienced caddy. He's been here twice, Joe, even though he doesn't look like Joe. And so that helps. That helps. I did not want to play 18 twice. I've screwed that up at majors in like a long time ago. And I am on my third week in a row, so I'm not really trying to like kill myself.
Gotcha.
You know, with the prep, but I do feel like there's a huge benefit this tournament, I think, for a rookie in the sense that I know a lot about the golf course without ever stepping foot on it. I know a ton about this place, as everyone does. And I think that helps. So playing 18 holes today, Joe had a really good idea. He just said, let's just play. He said, play 18 and I'll give you my yardage book tonight. I'm staying with him. So he's like, I'll give you my yardage book tonight or tomorrow and you could take all the notes. But he's like, don't take notes, say play it and then figure out what you like. Cause I have been really, really hitting my driver like unbelievable. And there are certain holes. He's like, dude, I would sometimes tell you, now it is playing long, so maybe not today, but he's like, I'd sometimes tell you to hit 3 wood here, but you're driving it. So I'll just play the golf hole like you would and just hit your driver and then tell me if that feels okay. So like, that's fun. And that's why, you know, again, 18 was a good idea. And then you can kind of work your way backwards, but I don't feel like we need to be out here a ton. Xander gave me good advice today in this, with the idea that, you hit so many shots off slopes here. Like it's really, I know people say it and I'll keep saying the same cliche that it's a lot more hilly than it looks on TV. It's a lot of elevation change. And I've heard that for my entire life. And right when I showed up and looked at 10, I could not believe how downhill it was.
It's crazy.
I couldn't believe how, and this is something like people have been telling you that every day you've ever heard about the Masters.
And like nine's one of those holes where you don't
dude,
feel
that
like.
That second shot is nuts. So like you hear it and you still don't. It still shocks you. So he's like, dude, I hit balls my rookie year. I'm like for hours trying to play perfect, you know, on the range, get my swing perfect or whatever. And he's like, then you get on the golf course and it's like, can't practice that shot. You know,
right.
Like, how are you supposed to do that? Part of it, Bermuda was nice because it was so hilly. It was very similar to this, but I don't know. Yeah. Nine, dude, how hard would that shot be? I guess maybe being a lefty would be easier
Well, for me, you could hit the bullet cut off the tee, but it's just the second shot.
I don't mind the tee shot. It's the second
shot.
Yeah,
the second shot is just, it's straight down to straight up. Actually, I was listening to Shotgun Start. They were talking about, of course, Bryson, as everybody talks about Bryson all the time now, it feels like in golf, which, I mean, to his credit, he's doing that. He's doing something to make us keep the conversation going. And they were talking about Bryson and him hitting driver down nine, down the slope to the flat. And he's like, that hole is now completely different because the challenge is really, you know, is surveying your lie with the second shot. And it's figuring out how to hit a ball that's you know, a downhill lie that could be above your feet or below your feet to a green that's uphill and sloping towards you. So that's the hard part of it. If you hit it 390 down to the flat, it doesn't kind of changes how the hole plays.
I will say that like the fairway being from, I mean, his fairway, if he does pull it off, is from one to like, it's 100 yards wide, maybe more, but I don't think you want to be left. Like if you did pull it left, I mean, I'm being relative to like perfect, but if you're left, even with a wedge off the flat, like I don't think that shot, it's kind of the cool part about that hole is like I hit the middle of the fairway today. I didn't hit it very far. Didn't like, cause like I said, it's kind of soft. Xander got it way down there. I had like an 8-iron in and I hit a really good second shot, but I kind of turned it, drew it up against like the wind kind of with the green and it came in and it wasn't like, it's really to your point about Bryson being on the flat. It wasn't really high cause it just can't be, but because it was working into the hill, it stopped and it was like in the perfect kind of spot. And Xander hit a good shot, but it came out too low and was kind of more like direct straight and it didn't hit the hill and then ran up to the back, you know, the back tier. Now, I guess Bryson, if he's even on the left, the tiers aren't as big a deal, but the angle did matter. Like the fact that I drew it into the slopes, I thought helped slow it down. Now, I guess if you're hitting a wedge, it wouldn't be as big a deal. But there are parts of it that I thought were unique in the sense that you couldn't really be like miles left. Now, we're talking about like making it the easiest shot ever. I guess his ceiling or his floor is still like so high doing
that. With that
but
shot.
I will say like, dude, it's playing really long. I would assume that the further you hit it, it would still really help because, you know, there. I had a really good drive on 17 today. I hit 6-iron in.
Wow.
And I know last year Tiger, I think hit 9-iron in. So it's just, and you're hitting to a really small area. So I would imagine like his strategy and stuff his strength will be really rewarded this week. But I'd be impressed even if I haven't seen him hit it, but even if he did get it to the bottom of that hill with how wet it is, would be a really good drive. At least with how the ball is not rolling. So, but we'll see. I mean, I looked at it all over. I tried to see kind of like where he would at certain times, just out of curiosity.
Right.
And I don't see, it's obviously an advantage if he's striping it, but there's a few tee shots that would really help, but there's still some that like, I don't know how, it's always an advantage, but I don't know how it's going to be like, I don't think it's always just going to be like, this is stupid. Even like 13, I've heard he's going to go up 14 fairway or something, which is like over the trees that everyone hits it in on the right, like the pine straw. But like for him to hit the fairway, I heard last week or something, maybe he had sandwich in. I don't know if that's a myth, but there's from the back of that box, they let this tree like overhang on the left. And if you don't hook your tee shot, that you're going to hit the tree like 15 yards in front of you. So it's almost hard to take the line that we keep hearing about. So that would be that's one that I think would take a really, really good, really good swing to like pull that off. Now he's a really, really good golfer, so he probably can, but it is a bit more risky. Maybe that's why he's planning on going up the other way. But there's still some really difficult spots where if you're not in a really good area, even with a shorter club, I would rather have at certain times an 8-iron versus maybe a 9-iron or pitching wedge. Now I guess he can maybe even be shorter club in than that. So I guess we'll see. It'll be pretty interesting to watch. I thought that we had four guys that hit it a similar distance. Xander was hitting it quite far today, but even he, you know, certain holes, I don't think we're ever more than a club difference. And even most of the time, I felt like we were the same club. And, you know, it just, you don't see a ton of advantage in that sense. So Bryson being another 20, maybe 30, like, I guess it's just hard to see when you're walking around, like how big of an advantage that can play, because like three, if you could fly it to the upslope, that's awesome, but it's going to roll back similar to where my drive was anyways. And then to actually drive it on that green would be a 10 out of 10 shot. So it's like, what mega advantage you're getting there? Two, if you could pull off the tee shot, would be awesome.
Yeah.
But even that tee shot is still pretty narrow. So it's just, I don't know. We'll see.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. So I wanted to ask, first things first, because, you know, Augusta's Augusta. Have you done anything awkward? Did you do anything awkward today? Did you go in the wrong door or the wrong locker room? Were you kind of keeping your eyes alert, looking around, making sure you didn't rustle any feathers or anything like that?
Dude, you're just very nervous.
You don't want to end up in the champions locker room. Like, I didn't mean to come in here.
I was very, very, oh yeah. I guess the one thing is I pulled into the champions parking lot. The guy very quickly said, yo, this is not your parking lot. And I'm like, I'm sure. Like, it seemed too small. Like, but I was like, I'm a guy who loves signage. Like, I need a lot of signs everywhere. There was no sign that said, I just saw cars like mine, you know? And yeah, so we had that moment, but that wasn't so bad. The guy laughed and he said, maybe next year, maybe
nice,
in April.
Nice.
And I was like, sure.
Man, yeah.
But no locker room issue. We are in different locker areas. Everything's kind of, you know, screwy with the COVID stuff. I have not seen like what the normal locker room looks like, but they built us or not built us, but they moved us to a really cool, like new, like locker area that's by the range. But other than that, I didn't do too much. Joe, we did have a couple, like brain dead moments. I forgot a sand wedge on 6. Then Joe forgot the laser on 15. And then Joe literally forgot the golf bag when we left the golf course. Like, literally, we're driving out and I saw Austin, who's Xander Scotty, walking across the street with the bag. And I just like, Joe, did you put the bag in the car? Because I didn't know if he put the trunk up. He goes, oh shit. He's like, you got to turn around. He goes, I left it by the caddy area. And I'm like, Jesus, like we literally forgot the golf bag. Joe doesn't know where his wallet is right now. He thinks it might be in the bag. So we had kind of like, we had our moments today. But if I didn't do this podcast, no one would know about like three of those. So I guess we didn't ruffle any feathers, but we did have some moments of, you know, I think we need to clean up the focus by Thursday.
I don't consider myself like a big expert on the professional golf ranks. The bag, one of the more important things you're going to need for the week. You know?
Well, like it would have been really funny. Like
break your belt like, all well, you want.
Yeah, break your belt. What? I hope I don't do that again.
I hope.
But yeah,
you do.
It's like what happened? How was your day? Oh, it was good. I lost my golf bag though. Oh, where'd you lose it? No, like at the golf course. Yeah. It's somewhere. Well, there.
No. I lost my golf bag at Augusta National.
At Augusta National. Like, but it's still like it's at the course somewhere. But yeah. So what a week.
What thing shocked you the most that is completely different than you would have thought it was going to be, looked different, played different? Did any hole stand out as your favorite hole? And is that different than maybe it was your favorite hole as you watched the Masters for all these years?
Things stood out in general that was shocking is the property is just really big. Like we have to take a cart ride from the range to the first tee. It's huge. Like there's a million buildings. You know, obviously this is usually has so many people and there's corporate stuff. So I get why it's so big, but it's just really big. Again, like I mentioned, like it is even more hilly than I, and as everyone told me, it's even more so. The golf course itself, bunch of stuff shocked me. Like Joe asked me like every few holes, if anything, and like, you know, like the coolest part about this place is everyone has seen it the same way I've seen it. Like you all would know what would shock you through even my eyes, like if I could explain it. So like 7 green, a third the size I thought it was. It's tiny. The one benefit, by the way, like as I cut in is I've played Pasatiempo. Have you played Pasatiempo before?
No.
Okay, so same architect, very similar greens. Like you at least get it's a little more subtle, these greens, and more gradual slope, but very similar as far as their sections and really, really hard spots. So that was kind of nice to see going in and knowing that because people had mentioned it. But so like, yeah, so like 7, way smaller green than I thought. 5, I wouldn't say it's a throwaway hole. It's not one that gets talked about much, except for the fact that they've redone it a couple times. It is really, really, really hard, really long. The bunkers are crazy deep. Like you hit it in the bunker and you cannot get to the green. But like, what hole was I thinking? There was one, six is a lot easier in the sense that the right section of that green where they put that pin up on the perch is a lot bigger than I thought it was.
Okay.
Like, which is the opposite of seven, which I thought that it's a lot smaller than I thought it was. So little stuff like that. The fairways are enormous. There's a few really difficult tee shots. I thought 17 is so straight. Tiger mentioned that last year, a couple years ago, that ever since
the Eisenhower
tree, he thought it was a dogleg left, and it's literally so straight. But there are trees on the left that make you feel like if you kind of get like claustrophobic down the left. But yeah, like I hit a ball that like was very straight today, and I like to cut it, but you feel like you have to like keep hold it in there, even though it's really not a dog leg. 18 is it's the craziest tee shot.
Do you hit driver there?
Yeah, I hit driver. I basically driver everywhere today. It was playing really long.
So I mean, you're not hitting 3 wood on 13 or 15. I mean, it's just go driver.
15 definitely not. 15 you have to bomb it. 13 if they play the tee on the all the way up, I might. But today I took a couple drives from the up tee. By up, I mean like the front of the box.
Right.
And I tried to fly all the trees, which I got two of them over pretty far and had, you know, 7 iron or whatever. Joe made a good point about 13. He's like, if you hit 3 wood, you're going to have a 3 iron in or maybe 5 iron. He's like, you really just want the shortest club you can have in because you don't want that shot to be any harder than it is. Cause that second shot's like a basically like baseball stance. It's kind of like belt high. Some of that stuff was surprising. Some of like the greens are either bigger or smaller than I thought. But favorite hole, I think, is the same. Joe said it. It's 13. 13 is probably the best hole I've ever played. Okay. Or it's up there. Obviously, part of it is the allure of Augusta National. But I mean, the tee shot's so freaking cool. The second shot is insane. It's super fun. Even like the short pitch shot from like 50 yards is really, really fun. But like 12 is up there for like, I mean, you hear about it so much, but you kind of just get it when you get on the tee as to why it's so hard. Like it doesn't look hard. I hit a 9 iron today. Joe wanted me to go at the pin. It was like the Sunday pin on the right. He said, go right at it, make a hole in one, like whatever. And, I think part of it is because we were playing a game and he wanted me to make a bogey or something. But, you hit the ball and it was like windy enough at that point, 10 miles an hour. And you hit the ball and I hit it really well, right at the pin. And it's in the air. And you really, for it being dead flat, like as far as elevation goes, it's in the air. And I'm like, I have no idea if it's pin high, short or long. Like it's just in the air and you feel very exposed to whatever the wind decided to do at that moment. You know, one of the Austin had told me that he said there's like a northwest wind that comes through 13 towards 12 and literally will hit the trees and then go into your face. So in your book, it says it's down off the right or off the right, but it's actually into your face. It's just like, so that's why those two holes to me were like the most fun. Amen Corner, the hype is real. Like 11, 12, 13 is ridiculous. But yeah, it's just a really cool where Tiger made the chip on 16 is a joke. It's insane to me.
Did you do that? I mean, did you do that a couple of times? Did you go to the Bubba spot on 10? Did you do any of those?
I didn't go to the Bubba spot. It's so far right. It was like out of my way.
you're saying you bypassed the Rory spot left and the Bubba spot right on 10. I'll go in the middle.
You sadly bypassed the Rory spot like quite quickly from what someone told me. Yeah. Bubba's is very far over there. Shot. No, it wasn't. But like there's a famous Tiger shot. It wasn't on Sunday, but I'm not sure he won that year, but Tiger hit a shot on 9 from the left trees where he does his skipping run out into the fairway. And he had like a foot in the back left pin and it's impossible. That's just like not a real golf shot. It was so hard from the fairway and he hooked a 9 iron, like 40 yards. So I looked at that. You looked at a few of them. You're hitting the chips and the putts up the hills where Tiger 2 putt on 9 last year from the very back.
Oh,
is
my
insane. It's insane. There's certain shots that now you see them and you're like, that's why that's so hard. Or that's, you know, that's even more amazing that he made it or that they did this. Like the flop shot from long on 15, even with the greens as soft as they are right now and like fairly slow for Augusta, like even that flop shot, like I hit one that almost rolled off the front and then I hit one that was good, but it still was probably like 10 feet too far. And just to have the guts to go full on swing, because I was hitting like a, you know, my like maybe like a 75% flop shot. Like I don't know if I even had the guts on a practice round to like just take it upstairs. So you have stuff like that. You want to look at like the places you've seen the shots from, but there's so many that like it's hard to
right. You want to get them all.
Remember
in.
All.
I want to
them.
Hit. I want to hit all these shots. I have. By the way, I've got a get a grip stat of the week that I looked up today. Do you want to hear the?
I would love to.
We've never done this before. This is the first time. Your first Masters, our first stat of the week. So I was looking up some stuff about first-time winners at Augusta. I think there's been three. Fuzzy was the last. Everybody talks about it in 79. And I was thinking about Fuzzy's name. It's got a couple of Z's in it. And Fuzzy Zeller, got a Z there as well. There's two letters that have never been in a champion at the Masters name.
I know one of them.
One of them is Q. And the other one is X, which your name happens to have. Now, we've been real close. Xander was close last year, finished runner-up. Jonas Blixt was runner-up back in 2014, but never had a champion. So, Max, you can make history, and you can also represent for the letter X. I feel like it's time for them to reign victorious around Augusta National.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if this is one of those weeks where if they said someone with an X will never win, I would change my name to be able to
win. It's just Barry Homa
but it would
on
be
the
even
first
cool. Yeah, it'd be even cooler to be the first X person to ever win the Masters. Shane, I question for you for all the years, you know, obviously big golf fan. Do you have a you know favorite hole to watch or something that sticks out about the golf course as I know you've been here four times, something, some place you like to go, a hole you like to sit on, or just a hole you like to watch the most?
Well, I mean, it's interesting you brought up Seven Green. First of all, that was one of the more shocking things for me as well, is how small that green is, because, you know, we're used to those shots going up the hills on Sunday and coming back down, maybe going in or getting real close. And that green is so much smaller than you think. I think that's the best spot on property to watch golf with the patrons there is you see seven, you see two, you see three, you can get a look at 17 as well. You can see a lot of golf around there, and I think that's really important. And I just feel like if you sit right under the scoreboard there, that's an unbelievable viewing experience. You know, I mean, of course, everybody wants to go see Amen Corner, as they should. Everybody wants to go over by 13. I just felt like bang for your buck wise, that was a place you could see a whole bunch of different type of golf shots.
Yeah, two is right there, and then seven is cool. You can see the eight, by the way, is sneaky, like one of the coolest holes on property. That second shot's super fun, and the green is, again, like a lot smaller than it looks. Two is one of those, like, we were talking about it today. Some of those shots you've seen, like, off the second shots into the green that go close, it's like a 5-yard opening in the front of that green off a downslope 220, you know, like it's just the golf shots you see, I guess, when you watch the Masters go close are much better than you think. Like, I think like you mentioned seven, the shot that we always see almost go in or go in on Sunday, you could say, oh, it's a bowl. Like that bowl is so small,
right?
Like, it's 20 feet, like 20 feet by 20 feet, you know, and you miss it. And now you're like almost going to auto make bogey. Like where I hit it today was just short, right? It was a middle pin, which, you know, is actually insanely hard because it's on its own little perch. But where I was short, right, was quite easy because you can spin it up the hill because it's so steep. But if you're a foot and a half long to any pin on that green, it's like you have no shot. So those, you start to appreciate even more so these shots that go close. Like 15, anyone who's ever made eagle to the left pin on 15 is a god. Like it's tiny. You're hitting the longest club in ever off a downslope. Even the right pins where you see most of the eagles, like even that shot's a nightmare.
15 green is that's another thing, Max, is seen in person the 15th green. And to your point, remembering, you know, and I mean, I go back, you know, you were talking about 13, you're saying, you know, you don't want to hit three wood because you're going to have four, five iron, three iron in. And, you know, those were the clubs that these old historic Masters that we'd watch in 86 and, you know, 92 and Masters like that. You know, those were the clubs that those guys were hitting in all the time on holes like 13 and 15. To hit a 3-iron or a 2-iron on 15 in the Masters and like to pull it off has always been one of those things that shocked me, because the green, you know, you 12 is tiny, you know, 12 green is very, very small. And I mean, I've of course never walked back there like you got to walk back there today, but just being 150 yards away, 15 is the same size and they're hitting, you know, they're hitting what, six more clubs in. It's astonishing to see it.
Yeah. The front slope on 15, like on the green, is much more subtle than I thought. So that's why balls it with a long iron that land on the green, get onto the green, like onto the middle. But, like the depth of it, especially on the left, is super, super shallow. Like you have to play a shot to the middle of that green for the most part, or get something working to the left. It's one of those few shots, but on this golf course, it feels like lefty second shots on some of the harder ones is better, but that's one to the left pin where the righty has an advantage. Kind of like 16, where if you pull it, it'll keep covering. So that feels like a little more comfy, but I mean, it is not pleasing to the eye to see the pin over there, because there's not a lot you can do. And like today, you know, I hit a pretty decent drive and had, like I said, it played quite long and I had 4-iron in. And it's just, you're on the flat, I guess, if you're hitting 4-iron, but it just, It's a daunting shot. Like I could hit 3, but you go long and all of a sudden it's, then what do you do?
Yeah. You don't want to mess.
So you're playing defensive. So you got to hit a baller shot, you know, at times. And that's what, you know, we would try to do on certain holes. You just have to take it on. Cause the bailout's not really, you're not really helping yourself much. So that's the fun part. You decide, or you show right then and there, are you good enough? And that's what you want in golf. And that's what this course kind of provides. It's like, hey, you could hit it over here, man, and you might get it up and down. Maybe not, but you might. But hey, you hit a good shot here, we will give you a really big reward. And that's what you're kind of faced with every day. I think the hardest part about this course, you know, is like not the Sunday pins, as far as like you don't know them very well. And some of them are insanely hard, but they don't get any credit because we don't remember seeing them very often. The green on one is insane. And there's a couple pins when you get up there and you're just like, how do you hit it here? Like how? And, you know, it's cool because the greens are really soft right now. I imagine they're going to get firmer, even though it's going to rain. But like you can see why it would be hard even when it's firm, and you can see why it's hard even when it's soft, because then you have to be almost on your number. Because if the ball starts to spin, you know, we had on one today, I think three of us missed it just short. No, all four of us missed it just short. One stayed kind of on the front of the green, but the rest rolled off the very front. And it's just like, we were not very far off the pin high number. And so that's where the soft part actually is kind of demanding. Now it makes chipping and bunkers easier, but There's a lot of nuance that makes this place hard. The length is one of them, but that's kind of the one that's right in your face. It's the depth of the bunkers is crazy. Playing through certain slopes, like I said before, and when you see people play it up and down a slope on TV, it does look like, oh, of course that's a bowler, that's easy. And when you get there, you're like, man, if I miss this a couple feet, you know, too hard or too left or too right, you are so dead. Like, so dead. So I appreciate more so some of these putts and shots I've seen over the years, because now I'm like, man, like that was not a lot of room for error. And they, you know, it makes it look like it's just the most routine thing when you watch it, because everything just funnels, but it only funnels from certain areas.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. So listener Ethan Zimmon sent this along. This is part of your bio on masters.com. It says, last line, it talks a lot about Max, your win at the Wells Fargo and NCAAs, and your first golf memory being the Masters in 97. Last line is, he is active and wildly popular on social media. Now, we can't get a podcast line in there, also a media guy or anything that...
Knows Shane Bacon.
there was a word. There's also, I have an edit for the Masters website They link to your fan account on Instagram. It's MaxHoma23, not MaxHomaGolf. MaxHoma23, see? The person that puts this stuff together needs to pay a little bit more attention to the podcast. We mention your Instagram account all the time.
It's Max.Homa on Instagram, but we could edit it. We'll edit Tim.
It's in.
I did have the first, I walk into the locker room, and I was surprised because the first guy that I saw goes, "Hi, Mr. Homa, like, how you doing?" And I didn't have my credential. I didn't have anything out. Right. I was like, "Oh, that's, you've done your homework." Cause like, obviously I, wouldn't be like the first person's name to be known. And then, the next guy who took me to the locker said, name, and I told him. And then as I was saying name, Dustin walked by and goes, "Hey, Mr. Johnson, how you doing?" And I was like, this is like, it's obviously standard. I'm not surprised. But then, I was putting on my shoes and the same guy who had asked me my name came over and said, "Hey, do you mind if you do me a favor?" And I was kind of like, literally, you're there. You're like, "I'll do anything you'd like." and he was like, "Do you mind roasting our buddy Swing right here?" And it was another guy that worked working in the locker room. And he started laughing because he's like, "I thought you really needed something." The guy told him, and he was busting his chops. So I guess the social media thing is it still carries some weight at the Augusta National. So that's pretty cool.
Wildly popular. I was a fan of that. I thought that was that was great. Appreciate Ethan sending that over. I did want to ask just a couple of things about Houston. I mean, I know we're focused on this week.
To talk about that course.
Yeah, this is awesome. But before we get to the Houston thing, I'm going to do a real quick. We're bringing it back for a second time. True or boo? For your day today, are you ready?
Hit me.
All right. Most nervous non-tournament tee shot of your life today on your first hole at Augusta.
No, I did think about it. So that's a boo. I would say that if there were fans or patrons, I would have been pretty amped. I actually was surprised how routine it felt. It wasn't. Maybe I have been more, but it's been the fans. Like, I think Marion practice round first hole was because, like, if you pull it, you like kill somebody, that is the most demanding opening tee shot with people. And you're like teeing up a 3-wood.
Hey, college kid, don't hit it left.
Like, don't kill someone. So like that was probably a little more nervous.
I got you. That's a good one. True or boo, the winning score will be better than 12 under par.
True.
Okay. True. I like it. I just feel like with it being soft, we're expecting to see some pretty low scores. Yeah,
I don't know what they can do. It's all overseeded. Now, again, it's going to be long, but you always get somebody playing great who will do all the right things, even from further back. I don't know how firm you can make this place in 4 days. So
gotcha.
I would say will be lower than 12.
True or boo, you have looked up online the prizes that they hand out for certain scores on certain holes.
Boo, but I know that you get crystal and I am absolutely gunning for an eagle. That would be so sick.
Was it Doug Gim a couple of years ago and he made three? Yeah, he made three that week. Did he make it? He made a 2 on 18.
Yeah.
And he made a couple of eagles on par fives. It was crazy.
I mean, Dustin once made three in a day.
On back nine, I think, didn't he? He made the last 11 holes. He made three eagles.
You can see it, man. You there's a lot of chances in the sense that even if you don't, hit it on in 2 on a par five, like 8, I hit it just short of the green and I lipped out the chip, but I had a pretty easy like chip. Cause again, if you're in the right areas, the ball funnels to the hole. 7 obviously is one, but I mean, 7, you are hitting like a 7-iron. It's not like it used to be with a wedge. 14, like the ball wants to go in the hole there. So there's spots where you could see why like it happens. 16, now that I've been on, like I get why there's a hole in one there.
Gotcha.
Like basically every year on Sunday. I mean, the ball just like literally just goes in the hole there. So you could see it, but that would be, I mean, the crystal stuff is, that's pretty cool, but I have not looked it up. I don't
it's
know.
It's cool.
Like.
Yeah, I think you get a bowl for an ace.
Okay. It's different, I think, yearly for certain, just like your run of the mill eagle. But I think the aces, I think you're right, would be a bowl. I want the albatross double eagle. I Do we ever get confirmation on what that was?
Do you get a crystal desk? They just give you a desk. And you just have it. Do you do your podcast, you know, just all made out of crystal. And a microphone stand. Well, you'd be the premier podcaster in the world if your whole thing was crystal.
We'd have to start doing it. Like, we'd have to start filming it so people could see the flex we have on everybody.
Man, that's a really clear desk. You're like, yeah, it's crystal. Thanks. Tell us about Houston. You, by the way, Max, I mean, I've mentioned this on the pod a lot. I check your scores, you know, throughout the day, every tournament round you play. The way you play dictates how we're going to do the podcast and all that. And it was not the best start to the week on the very first hole of your tournament. And all I could think was, it's all uphill from here, right? I mean, it can only get better. I mean, I was a little nervous, but sometimes I almost think when you do stuff like that, it's like, all right, let's go play golf.
Yeah, it was a little bit like that. It was a shocking thing. I don't know if I've ever felt this good about my golf game.
Like right now, currently?
All last week. I know I got 46. It felt, I didn't putt it very well, but it felt like, I mean, I did a lot so well. So going into that Thursday, I was pretty hype about my game. And I piped one down the middle on one. I was very in between clubs on the second shot. It's a very long hole. And I missed it just short left, and I hit what felt like a really good chip. The greens were super firm and super fast, and I hit this chip and I loved it. And I look up and it just keeps rolling, trickles over the back of the green. And now the reason we hit the club, the second shot was to be short, and now we're long in three, made double. And I was like,
damn it.
I was literally like, what just happened, Joe? Like, I felt like I hit three good shots that I made a six. And then, I birdie the next. I'm like, okay, we're back in a good spot. And it was just a very weird day. I told him all day, like, I never felt uncomfortable at all. I felt like everything was just so good and it just wasn't working out. So then the next day, I never even had any apprehension about missing the cut. Like, I really felt like I knew I was going to play well the second day. The weekend, I thought I was going to go really low. And I just don't know. Like, I just was making some sloppy bogeys and just little things, I guess. But I didn't putt it well. Like on the back nine on Sunday, or my back nine on Sunday, like I missed like 3-4 footers for birdie. I would have shot some dumb low, never made a putt, outside of like 10 feet on Sunday. And I still, still shot one under on that back nine. So it was a very weird week. Like I said, I really feel amazing about my game. Even, today I played unreal. So it was a weird, like you said, it was a weird start. It's a weird first day. It was a weird kind of whole week. I had even on my back nine on Friday, I had, you text me, I almost had the psycho scorecard. And it was just so weird because if you watched me play, it didn't feel like there was any psycho about it. But I would just keep making these bogeys here and there, like make a swing or miss a putt. And you're just like, what? Like, what are we doing? Like, how is this happening?
Because you were making a ton of birdies.
Yeah, I was like playing so well and like hitting such good shots, and the ball either just didn't go or like you would think it would, or I don't even really know. So
it was a good week for you. And how were the fans? Because there were a lot more fans than obviously there were at Bermuda.
Yeah, that was cool. I mean, it was like, you had a full group of people on the first tee every day. We had a few people walk with us all day. The certain holes would always have a big group. I don't think we played very many holes at all where there was no clapping. The golf course, by the way, is like A1. I love it. So I explained it like this. It is crazy long, like crazy long. Now I know they turned it from a 72 into a 70. So we played like three or four par fours that were like 490 to 530. It is what everyone is pining for. That's like in the width and angles family, but it doesn't have the width is the issue. So
you texted me that on Tuesday. Yeah. You said this is that course that goes with widths and angles and forgot the width.
Yeah. So it was like thick ass Bermuda, like four C's Bermuda and very small fairways. And it's a muni. So it's like also really hard to distinguish between where the fairway and the rough is. It's not like very... it's not framed very well, which is fine, but you cut it. So I am sad to say this, but I heard that a lot of pros complained about the place. And I hate to hear that because this is what golf needs. This is what professional golf needs.
Can you expand on that a little bit?
So anyone who's been to Pinehurst, I have not, but anyone who's been to Pinehurst, I think kind of explains like this. If you had a very quality golf shot, now granted, it was very firm and fast, which was cool because that helped this. The greens were enormous, but there's a few of them, 15, 13, I mean, more than a few, but those were the ones that stood out that were crowned, where if you missed the green, the ball would roll 20 some odd feet, maybe more, down a hill. Now you're chipping uphill off Bermuda to a green that's a plateau where if you hit it short, it rolls back to your feet. You hit it a little too hard, you don't clip it, doesn't spin, it rolls off the other side of the green. I mean, Grayson Murray made like a 10 on 13 the first day. I think Sam Ryder made a 9, and they were both in the fairway next to the green in 2, and just couldn't get the ball on the green. And, you know, Zach Johnson, my group, putted off the green on 13. And I chipped it really well last week. And in my opinion, if you were chipping it well, if you were making good contact, you could always hit the green. I think it became up to you to decide if you were going to take on the pin. And as a lot of people have talked about, I think we've mentioned this. Pros tend to complain when they can't just go right at the pin and hit it close. And I don't buy that, because if you've missed the green and you have a very difficult chip, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to just chip it to 12 feet right of it and then tap it and then make that putt, instead of thinking that an average shot should go to 4 feet right at it. Like, you should have to hit a world-class shot at times when you're short-sighted or something to have a kick in. And I think people have gotten used to being able to spin something and stop something really fast, or not really worry about the penalty of missing it too far. And because then you'll have 12 feet, but no, you miss it too far and you have another chip on certain holes. 15, for instance, was so if you play the golf course from the very tips at all times, I think it is a little insane. The green complexes on the par threes are bananas, but, and they're all like 6 irons and 5 irons or whatever, except one of them. But they move the tee up every day on every par three, essentially. So you're hitting short and mid irons into the ones that had the crazy, crazy green. Now, the flattest green, 11, we played from 230 or whatever, which is fine. 15 is one of my favorite par threes I ever played now. The first day was 114 yards. Now, there's water left. And if you miss the green left, this is the biggest plateau. If you miss the green left, it rolls 35 feet and might go in the water. If not, you have such a hard chip. If you miss it right, now you're chipping towards the water and you're going up and down a hill. Again, you can chip it to the middle of the green. It's not a guarantee you're allowed to just chip it right at the pin. But guys, it's 114 yards and you are the best players in the world. Like, you should hit that green. Like, you should hit it online. So the complaining I heard, I just don't, it's crazy to me. Now, anybody who I talked to about the course, I told them, I said, if you took the rough out of this place, I think people would like it a lot more, because it was a little much when you're hitting to some of these greens from the rough, because the rough was that Bermuda flyer, no spin, guessing, which is okay. It made the course hard. I'm cool with that. But the course was so cool because you did need angles to a lot of the pins, like, and that was the fun of it. But you couldn't create an angle when the fairways were that narrow and the rough was that thick. Like, then what does the angle do for you? It does nothing. So I love it. I hope it stays in the rotation for Houston. I hope it's the course. I thought it was fantastic. You know, there's just really hard holes, but I thought you got really, really rewarded for great shots. If a ball was struck well, it stopped where it needed to, you could hit great shots to 20 feet. It had its areas where you could always chip or putt from that was not that difficult, but it took, you know, quality shots to get there. And I thought that it rewarded really good shots. And you made, you know, you saw there's still a bunch of birdies to be had. I thought it was awesome. Again, if I had one gripe, it's the rough was a little much.
Pro Memorial Park. Were you pro having Joe back?
Yeah, very pro having Joe back. It was cool to see him with no beard. Lacey almost walked right by our group because she didn't see Joe. Totally forgot he didn't have a beard. He walked by somebody today that did not recognize him at all. He said, and the guy doubled back and was like, Joe, like, I truly didn't recognize you. It was good to have Joe back. Technically Malcolm did do better. We got 34th.
Nice.
Joe and I got 46th. So maybe Joe is on the hot seat.
Malcolm never left you. By the way, Malcolm never left your bag at the golf course.
He never lost my bag.
Never lost the bag. Maybe dropped it.
Maybe dropped it.
Never lost it.
Yeah. By the way, to whoever listened to this podcast and tweeted at me, I made a mistake of responding and I deleted it because I don't want to respond to it. But whoever responded and said it was the worst podcast ever because I was whining about Malcolm, I just don't think you like listened right.
I don't
now.
Either. I saw that.
I don't get that.
That was like, an auto-mute. That was an auto-mute for me.
I don't understand. Like, there's a difference between whining, guys, and like explaining your week. Like, I would rather have my caddy there. It's like what everybody always asks, like, hey, do you mind if I caddy for you that week? And it's like, no, like, my caddy's going to caddy. Like, I would rather my caddy. Like, that's how this works.
Yeah, so I want to get into flights. I want to bring up something from a last flight that you'll have to go back to in your memory bank. This is from Derek Ashworth. Thanks for sending this, by the way. He sent this to our Get a Grip Instagram account. That's at Get a Grip Pod. If you send stuff to us there, I typically read it and sometimes put it up on the podcast. He said, I have an opposite corollary to the everyone loves a free upgrade thought. I once was traveling Chicago to Hong Kong on company business, was allowed to book in business class per the policy. So I did. When he got to the gate, I was told there was a seat in first class, so they upgraded me. He got on board, settled in a seat. 5 minutes before they depart, the flight attendant comes over and says there was a double booking and he had to vacate the first class seat, except they'd already given away his business class seat. So he had to go to the back of the plane and sit in coach for 15 hours.
Oh my gosh. Dude, that is. Oh, I feel. Did they like provide him? They had to give him free booze or something. The whole flight.
You know what? If you've got more information, pass it along. I read that to Cindy. I laughed my face off. That's an amazing story. And also, I can't believe that happened, by the way. I don't know what I would have done. I feel like I would have said, it's business class or I'm flying tomorrow and you're figuring that out. But I'm not, I don't know if I'm doing that for 15 hours. I just wouldn't have been mentally prepped for it.
Yeah, you need, yeah, you, if you know you're going to fly in the back of the plane or whatever, especially for that long, like you get your
it's like
head
seven,
in the right space.
Seven glasses a cab before you take
off. You know, but you know, like, yeah, the whole day is planned on that. If you're not ready for that, you can't get in. You can't get in the right spot mentally to be like, okay with what you're about to do.
I love that story. Thought I'd share. I wanted to remind people before we get to flights. So we have gear at imperialsports.com, imperialsports.com. We have a new shirt. That we have out this week.
Well, that is awesome.
Awesome shirt. It's about the whole, you know, uproar about the hoodies, and it's great. And I believe it was maybe Max's line that we turned into a shirt. But there's three colorways, and they are great. I've got three of them for you at the house once you get done, you know, playing the Masters. So I'll have three of those for you. And another message from one of our listeners about our gear. This is from Jake Cox. He said, "Hey, fellas. Wanted to share some feel-good content of my own with you guys. Every year, we take a trip to Orlando for 5 days, and we play a lot of golf, 36 holes a day. Long story short, was wearing my Get a Grip hat. I shot my first even par round first day of the trip and shot my second even par round that same day in the afternoon. Needless to say, I will never wear another golf hat again." And he ended it, by the way, Jake Cox, possibly a podcast co-host at some point. He threw hashtag golf at the end, which I felt like
that was
on cue. We might need to send that guy something. We'll sign. Yeah. I'll get Max to sign something or whatever. But we might have to send you something. That's
speaking
pretty cool.
Speaking of that, teeing up a Get a Grip tee on the first tee at Augusta National is pretty tight.
Can you take a picture? Hey, can you do me a favor if you can remember this? Let's take a photo of a Titleist on the tee at Augusta if you can use your phone camera there.
I'll see if I can make it happen.
If you can remember.
Yeah, I know you're nervous with the phone.
I know you got a lot of things going on. So let's get to flights. You've got a lot. I've got a lot. We've still got a lot of time to do these. So I wanted to knock them out. Do you want to start here on flights, Masters Week edition?
Yeah. I'll start with Feel Good Friday. Happened today. Didn't know what my Feel Good Friday was going to be. I love that I do these, and they're supposed to be from Friday, but Feel Good Friday just flows.
I love the fact that we do it whatever day, and it's always Feel Good Friday.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorite parts of
literally any day, whatever. I never, honestly, never hit me until just like right now.
I tried to correct the Masters about your Instagram handle, and then said the wrong handle. So how are we doing on
sure,
this?
Sure, I guess. Yeah, we're. I mean, you didn't forget my golf bag at the golf course. So it was today. I play with Lucas Michel, and his caddy is Will. Will played in the Mid-Am as well. They're good buddies. You know, he is first off got to play Augusta with Will when they did their practice round. Really cool. Awesome guys. Obviously, we spent all day together. But he was telling me walking up the fifth hole today that he had listened to my podcast from No Laying Up from like 2018 when I got my car back. And he said that he went out and had a final round tournament that next day. And he said he was like pretty amped about it and then won the tournament.
Nice.
That day. I said, that was pretty cool. He said, I shouted you out in my like post round interview. He goes, and I'm not so sure you knew that. And I was like, I didn't, but I mean, that was pretty cool. But it was again, it's fun. I know I kind of referenced it, but it was fun playing with them because they were going through similar emotions I was, but almost even bigger because on like 15, Lucas and I were chipping from long, but he had been chipping there for a little bit before me, and he was bumping these shots through the fairway grass up to the back pin. So you have very little room. And he told me as I was like about to hit my first chip, obviously we're just screwing around, but he goes, it's pretty firm right there. And I hit the shot and it hits the grass and took like a hop and stop, like way short. And I started laughing and he laughed. He goes, oh, my bad. You know, like, obviously my bad. I said, dude, it's only Monday. Like, you don't need to play head games with me or mind games with me. And he's like, dude, I'm not playing for money. So like, I don't really care. And I was like, and that's my point about like playing with him was cool. It's like, it's very pure. Like, to me, this is still not saying it's not business to him to it, but it is different. Like, this is straight up business to me. I have to get over my fun factor of this to a point and go back to like, this is a major, your goal is to win as many of these as you can because they're golf tournaments and stuff. So it's fun to play with them.
Yeah. Can I just interject there? I mean, don't you feel like carrying the fun of being there throughout the week in a way could be beneficial? Just, I know it's your job and I know it's work and I know what you mean by what you're saying. You know, you're playing with an amateur, you're there to work. I mean, you said it earlier in the podcast about the range and hitting shots and even the nerves you felt on the first tee or lack thereof with all the patrons there. But don't you feel like you can just kind of lean into this is effing awesome all week?
Yeah, so it is definitely a blend. I guess my point is that, again, he's doing the same prep I am.
Right.
He's having the same types of fun I am. The difference is I think during the week, having the fun is big. I think, or sorry, during the tournament, having the fun is big. During the prep still needs to be the prep. I have process of prepping where it's not, I'm looking all over the place. I'm freaking out about what I'm seeing and where I am, you know, like that needs to go away.
I got
like you. By tomorrow that probably needs to go away where it's like, I'm prepping now. I'm still going to have fun. So I guess there's just a very thin line of fun and, holy cow, I guess is the thing. he's dealing with the same thing I am. I'm not saying that we're that different, but it is, you know, just the fact that he can say like, I'm doing this for free is I would do it for free too, but it is a different, you have to realize that's a different mindset. It's not that we're both not trying our hardest, but like, this is my literal job.
Right. Right. Like, and so it'll probably be his, it'll be his eventual job or possibly be his eventual job. But I mean, I totally get what you want, what you mean. I've got a dumb idea and a good idea.
Yes. I was about to ask you if you have a dumb idea.
My dumb idea is really bad. It's horrible. But my
you told me this is the worst dumb idea ever.
This is definitely my good idea, I think, is pretty good. So okay. We just had election day. It didn't make many headlines.
Election month, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
We're in election month.
So election days are on a Tuesday, right? I don't understand why this doesn't happen, but I'm just going to throw this out in the ether for ideas. Golf Channel should air President's Cup reruns all day long on election day.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, just, I mean.
That's a great idea.
Let's throw the one, you know, the Tiger Ernie one in there. We can throw in the last one that was fun and exciting at Royal Melbourne. You know, there's been a few that are great. Just run them the whole time. It's like Christmas Day with NBA. Let's just get President's Cup reruns all day long on Golf Channel. That's my good idea. My dumb idea. Okay, you don't have a kid, Max. So when I go on walks with Henry,
it's attacking me by not having a kid there. Like,
no,
I get it, man.
It's good. You're good.
You had sex. Congrats. Deal.
Thanks. And it worked. I did it successfully. So you go on a walk and you have your child in a stroller and yourself. But my wife goes on these walks with her friends and they'll like plan it out and they'll go walk and they'll talk and there'll be three or four of them. And I've started to drive around neighborhood and my neighborhood specifically. And I feel like I never see dads walking their kids with other dads. So I was trying to think of something to blend this together so dads might want to go on kind of group walks. So I came up with this idea.
Beer.
So, but that, see, that, but that you just kind of can throw into anything. No, I think
you did. Yeah, exactly. We're simple people.
But what's a little bit better than beer?
Tequila.
Steak. So I came up with an idea. It's called steak walks, okay? So you have, you know, you have a good breakfast, you have a light lunch, and then you throw a steak on the grill at about 4. So it's well before dinner, right? Pop that bad boy off. You know, you had it all seasoned. You got your buddy that's going to meet you. And then you guys go on, we call them steak walks. It's a walk. You got your buddy, you got your kiddos, you got your stroller, and you both got a steak for the walk. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, this lived up to that.
So
it's a terrible idea. Most dads love the steak thing because they like grilling with other guys so they could talk about grilling. So you need to at least add that you all do it at the same grill.
That's fine. You have like a pregame before the walk.
Pregame. So and then, I mean, there's a lot of avenues.
Yeah,
sorry. You talk and I'm going to start to figure out the other avenues. I'm going to explain why this is a dumb idea.
I mean, it's a horrible idea. So the number one question that has come up when I've told way too many people about this, and now even more too many people about this, and people are going to turn the podcast off. The first question that my wife asked me was, now, how are you going to consume said steak? Right. So,
Are you pre-cutting it and doing it? Because I don't think like guys aren't like big Tupperware people.
Well, so she was talking like, you know, like gladiator style where you just hold.
Yeah,
the steak.
That's so what I would do.
Get like a
on
chop.
A fork, bite around the metal part of the fork.
So, well, no, she's saying like you get the bone, like a pork chop.
Oh,
so you just hold the bone and you just gnaw off it as you walk. Now that is pretty
now
manly.
I'm in. Okay. So,
I'm
back in.
So I thought about that and, you know, it could get a little messy with the bone. So I have decided that I do think you need to cut the steak up early. You can put it in something like in a cup holder. And then I think you need to have a side. And I think you get a little basket of fries. So you make some fries, put it in a basket that can sit on the stroller thing as well. And now you got steak and fries. I mean, it sounds like a great day. And you got your buddy and you got your kiddo.
So why do you need your buddy now?
Because I
feel like you merging men to like join other men in walks through steak is like, I feel like you just kind of made your walk better, but I'm not so sure like this would make other men want to like the beer, I think.
Hold on one second. So you're telling me that if you came over to my house and your first child is born and you come over and we go on a walk, you're telling me you'd prefer to go on this walk with steak, but you'd rather be on it without steak. You would prefer to not have a bite of steak on your walk.
No, that's not
what it sounded like to me.
You, let's say I live 20 minutes from you.
Okay.
Let's say I had a child. I was with child and you said,
well, you do live 20 minutes away. So we've already got that.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's the realistic.
You don't have the child.
Don't have the child. If you said, hey, want to come over and walk the kids? And let's just say I said no. And you said, well, we can do it with steak. I don't think that all of a sudden I'm like, yeah, now I'm in.
No, I'm not. You might have prior commitments. You might have a date. You might have to go hit range balls. I understand all those factors. But you're telling me, Max Homa.
No, the steak would make the walk better. But that's you're trying to merge men to walk their dads to walk together. I don't think that the steak is like going to make me then be like, yeah, now I'm going to walk with my other dad friends.
You might be hungry. It might sound good. I'm just telling you.
No, like,
there's a chance.
I'm telling you. You tell me you want to go on a walk with the kids. I'll bring Bud Light. I'll be like, I will be there.
Okay. That's fair. I mean,
there it is.
I think
that your walk is better with steak 100%. I just don't think that's going to sell me to walk with other people. Because you would say it, and I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to make a steak, and I'm going to walk myself, you know, around my own neighborhood.
Yeah, that's fine. I might come meet you. And then beer, obviously, can be included. So that's my dumb idea that we just spent about 4 minutes on. What else do you have for flights?
I have the Oh, best thing I heard this week.
Man, steak walks really threw you off there. It took you a minute to find where you were.
Rattled. Best thing I heard this week, COVID was not detected after we did our test this morning.
I was going to say.
Our house, myself, Lacey, and Joe, we all screamed and cheered when we were negative. Joe and I had a 30-minute conversation before we got the results of if he got it, like what I would do. Like, we were deciding who I was going to call, what was the best idea, who could get here. Like, we went through every option.
What is the flight? Did you look at flights Bermuda to Augusta and just to see?
No, so it was that wasn't going to work.
Bermuda to Atlanta, and then it's a quick drive. Anyway, go ahead.
Then it would be not too bad, actually. We just went through all that. So hearing that it was not detected was very, very cool. So that was exciting. And the best thing I saw this week was just the magnificent Magnolia Lane. That was pretty sick. And I'm trying to think, what else did I have? I don't know. You go. I'm blanking. Did I not write this down?
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. Do you feel like today, like, I mean, it's 8 p.m. in Augusta. Do you feel like today, I mean, do you feel kind of exhausted from the day just because it was so much to take in?
Yeah, it was a lot. We woke up really early and now it's like not early. But yeah, it felt like right when we walked off 18, I was like, I'm tired because it's a hard walk. And it's emotionally like it's draining. And it was a lot going on. Like I said, like we woke up really early. Oh, I got my other flight. Sorry. It was really early. We all like get over, go get tested, then have to kind of like drive back, like kill time, then get our stuff, then all get ready and go. Then you have to like go to the confirmation table to get your credentials and you have to go register. And again, like this is what we do every week, but like most weeks I know where I'm going. Here I'm like, you're a little on eggshells. You don't really feel comfy. You're also taking it all in and then you get to go to play and then you're doing all this like actual like physical exertion and like, you know, like real golf stuff while also like your brain is going a million miles an hour and you're constantly happy too, which even though it's like a good emotion, like it's draining, like, you know, you'd rather just kind of be flatlined or whatever. So it is a pretty exhausting day. The other best thing I heard this week is we rolled up to Chick-fil-A this morning for breakfast and we have our courtesy car and the guy said, are you here for the tournament? And I said, yeah. And he's like, are you playing? And I was like, yeah, I'm playing. I was so happy to like be able to say that was really cool. And he's like, you know, you could tell he's pretty surprised. We're not staying too close to the course, unfortunately. And he was like pretty surprised and like excited. He like gave me a card. He goes, next time you come back here, like Chick-fil-A on us.
Wow.
I was like, hell yes, I'll be back.
Look at you.
So that was cool.
Nice. And a little Chick-fil-A, maybe get the strollers out. Go on a little chicken walk.
Okay, here we go.
Like Chick-fil-A walk. Get a sponsor. Hey, I didn't ask you this. I'm done with my flight. Steak walk might end flights.
You have
forever.
No more flights?
No. So you had fans in Houston. Did Joe have the Bag-O gift cards in the bag? Or has this been left somewhere and forgotten about for the rest of our career doing this?
I was hoping you would never bring this up.
Oh, man.
I lost the gift cards. I have to get new ones. So I had planned on getting new ones for the next time we had fans. I did not know that Houston was going to have fans until I was in Bermuda. And there was not a CVS there to buy like what I did, like $600 worth of freaking gift cards that someone else has now. So I have to buy them again.
Well, I don't think you need to buy them. Hold on. I don't think you need to buy them. I think we can get gift cards here. That's the thing. I don't think you need to purchase them. I think we can get gift cards. The only one I think we need to purchase is we need to see if there's still Sizzler ones at the CVS.
I think of all the ones, I think I still have Sizzler because I put that one in a different spot in the bag.
As you should.
Speaking of, I was quite nervous last week to hit somebody because I did not want somebody to ask me for a gift card and then have to be like, I don't have them. Because I feel like we've kind of built the first 2 months of this podcast on these gift cards. And like, I totally didn't have a single. I was going to like just give them like $100.
Oh, I have an idea. I know it's not going to play into it this week. And A, you're going to be driving it so straight. I mean, I'm even so close to even the rough. But if you do, in fact, ever hit anybody currently without gift cards, we will gift card them a Get a Grip shirt or something. That sounds right. Yeah, we just
yeah, that's we'll fair.
Send. That's fair. So there you go.
But I'll also get the gift cards because the grab bag idea is awesome. So but I just totally screwed up.
That's okay. That's okay. It's listen. This has been a strange year.
Someone is bawling at Starbucks, Chili's.
Where do you think Sizzler, it is? Legitimately,
Red Lobster. I know where it is. It's in the back of a courtesy car dropped or rental car dropped off. I know it is.
What a find, by the way. That is an unreal
But
fire.
They are straight up. They are getting so many chicken crispers from Chili's. And if it is the 2-for-1 happy hour time at the bar, they are hammer drunk.
Oh, just taking down those Red
Lobster. They're just dominating Red Lobster. They're getting a lot of free bread, but if it's you know shrimp week or whatever, they're happy as can be.
I'm happy as can be. It's Masters week. I'm excited to see you play.
You excited to watch? I mean, this is this is also the best week in the world to watch golf.
Well, it is. It is. So my son's daycare got closed for a couple of weeks because of COVID, and I am the daycare person because my wife works full time and I do not. So I was in charge of Henry, which was fun and it was awesome, and we got to do a lot of fun stuff together. 2.5 weeks of it, you know, I mean, shout out to any stay at home parent. You guys are rock stars. I don't know how you do it. You guys deserve all the steak walks that have ever existed and more and beer walks if you want to do that as well. But this week Monday return to daycare. And I was telling Cindy, I was like, I don't know if I could have done this week with it because
this would have been tough.
I mean, having to chase them around and not be able to kind of like focus on golf and focus on what's going on and be excited about the Masters would have been tough. So thank goodness for
it's going to be pretty cool to watch without the fans.
The Masters, and this is a shout out to everybody in charge and everybody that we don't see, the Masters gets every single thing right outside of your Instagram handle. Everything is spot on and perfect. I mean, it is, you know, the press conferences, the golf course, the greens, the digital feed, just randomly thrown out last year that you could watch every shot of every player and it not even being this, you know, all caps announcement email that you get, but just simply the Masters going, oh, we have this new technology. I just feel like they nail everything 10 out of 10. And I expect this to, if nothing else, I expect them to use the no fans as a way to make it even better. You know, that's kind of what I'm leaning on and excited for on Thursday is I bet they get better angles and better camera shots and all that stuff.
Do you like the new cut thing? No 10 shot rule?
I mean, I think it makes sense considering the field's a little bit smaller and you know,
but it's going forward.
Is that for forever? That's
forever. That's how they wrote it.
Yeah, I mean,
like the 10 shot rule?
I am probably on the other side of a traditionalist when you really think about stuff, you know. I mean, I don't always follow along in the things I think are historically great. I will say I do love all the historical Masters stuff. I was really bummed out when they said that, you know, past champions couldn't play, you know, if they weren't competitive. I didn't like that. I always felt like it was kind of on the, you know, on the players would kind of decide the day they were done or the day they didn't want to play and all that. So, yeah, I mean, I like the old school part of the Masters. I like the 10 shot rule. I like the no cell phones. I like all the stuff that the Masters asks of us and that we expect of the Masters. So, yeah, I mean, I was a little bummed by it, to be fair.
Yeah, I don't really love the 10 shot rule more so because I get confused if it's in effect or not.
It's like our time zone thing in Arizona. What is it?
Weird to tee off both nines, threesomes off both nines early too, like 7 a.m. I think we go off on Thursday.
Hey, do you have green stuff for any of your scripting? Do you do scripting?
Yeah, they're doing scripting this year. FootJoy's doing the scripting. I have like pink for the azaleas, which is funny because there's none. I have some green. Oh, this is what I was going to add. I didn't know how to put this in flights either. Green at Augusta just always goes like in your outfit. Like it's always fits because I saw a player today with an orange shirt and a green hat and nothing could clash more, but it looks okay here.
Yeah. You're like, it works. I feel like the same way about pink. I also think, as you said, you have some pink for whatever reason. I feel like it plays. It just plays there.
It just
bright
plays,
colors pop at Augusta. Max, I'm pumped for you, dude. I know you're going to have a great week. I know it's going to be exciting. I just, my only request, please get some crystal goblets so that we can, I want to, A, can at least see one, and B, can at least drink out of one.
What are we, like, what's the first drink out of
I mean, you're the one that gets the goblets. You tell me. I mean, I you know what? It's good.
I said we just cut up some steak and
I was gonna say what we got to bring this full circle. I feel like they'd be great for the steak walk. Have a couple. Hey, you guys walking with Master's goblets for this guy? Made eagle on 14. That's why we're carrying them. No big deal.
Sick Yeti, you loser.
You know what? If you make a hole in one, I will also eat steak out of the bowl that you win as well. So okay. I'll carry that on the walk. I'll push the stroller Deal. Way in and balance the bowl. But I know you're pumped about it. Just have some fun. I'm excited to watch. You don't know who you're paired with yet, but I'm assuming that'll probably drop either tomorrow morning when this comes out. But yeah, have fun. Live it up. Do your thing. I'm excited to see you play.
Thanks, Shane. Wash your hands, everybody. Enjoy the Masters. I hope we're eating steak out of a bowl in a green jacket in 6 or 7 days.
Steak walks. Think about it. Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.